Good morning, everyone. Then let us adore and give him his right, all glory and power, all wisdom and might, all honour and blessing with angels above, and thanks never ceasing and infinite love. Let's stand and sing our first piece that will appear on the screen, The Splendour of the King, Clothed in Majesty, Let All the Earth Rejoice. Let's just have an opening word of prayer. O God, as we come into your presence this morning, the Bible indeed testifies of your greatness. You, O God, are great. Great is the Lord and worthy of our praise. And O God, we are so small, we are so humble, we feel ourselves so unworthy before such words. And yet, O God, we read as well that you have condescended to look down upon the sons of men. And yet, Lord, not only did you condescend yourself to look down, but we read that you came down. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. How, O God, you became incarnate in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. A mystery to us, we cannot understand it. But not only did you look down, you you came down. You looked down and you came down in order to bring us up, that in this life we might have communion with you, that we might believe and turn from our sins and have our relationship with you, God, that we might come up. And then one day, Lord, we know the death will bring us into your presence. The ultimate coming up out of this world, out of this life, into the next life. We thank you that we have life and then death. And for the Christian, there is death, then life, for to die is gain. And oh God, impress upon the unsaved this morning that there is death and then death again. The second death is what the book of Revelation talks about. Hi, Lord, it's not rocket science. It's not complicated in any way. There is heaven and there is hell. There is being saved and there is not being saved. And we have to be ready for heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And we thank you for these means that you have given us to prepare. The reading of your word and the preaching of it, the understanding of it, that we are sinners and we need to be saved. We need to be delivered. How that word salvation in the Old Testament means deliverance, means being rescued from danger. And oh, if the unsaved were just to see the danger that they're in and how they need to be rescued. Even in life, there are those who are in dangerous situations and they need to be rescued. They need to be delivered. How much more the soul needs to be delivered from the clutches of Satan and sin. And so, God, bless your word to our hearts again today. Just draw near unto each one of us, Lord. You know our thoughts and minds about all of these things. You know those going through times of trouble. Those listening in, Lord, are just in the same way. You know them this morning and you know where they are and what they're going through. By listening to us, Lord, you've guided them to our service, and just may they be helped heavenward and to find Christ. And so, Lord, just draw near unto each one of us. Thank you that you are the God of all comfort, and to you we can bring all our care, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And the psalmist tells us something similar to Peter, cast all your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. And so, Lord, just sustain and strengthen this morning, we pray. We ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Let's continue with praise to God. And number 50, be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Thank you. Now our reading again is from Proverbs chapter 8, and we'll read from verse 12 to verse 21. A few weeks ago we looked at verses 1 to 11, verses 12 to 21 this morning. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts. Now, a warm welcome to you all this morning. And this is a busy month where different services are concerned into June as well. So I trust that you will seek to support them all and seek to come out and encourage others as well. Our time of prayer at 10 past 6 tonight, before our evening service at 6:30. It would be good to see you out twice this Sunday, not just once, but out twice. And we continue our studies in the Beatitudes. On Tuesday night at 8 o'clock is our May missionary meeting, and I hope there's a good attendance out on Tuesday night. Mr. William Mateer, who represents FEBA, Far Eastern Broadcasting Association, will be here to tell of that work. Before the days of internet and all that type of thing, the gospel was being put out through radio, and for many years, the Voice of the Andes in South America, Trans World Radio, FIBA, all putting out the gospel through different programs in the different countries of the world through radio. And that is still going on, and William will be along to tell of that work on Tuesday night. Next Saturday begins our annual May meetings of the Congregational Union of Ireland, and Sunday then will be pulpit exchange when the ministers change round. But first of all, at 10:15 our Sunday school and a Bible class, and then 11:30 the minister of Consbrook Avenue Congregational Church in East Belfast, the Reverend Charles Collins, will be here, and I will be in Consbrook Avenue. And then we will be having our preaching rally and missionary rally on the Monday and Tuesday night in Bangor Congregational Church, because the Reverend Victor Neal becomes the new chairman of our union next Saturday for that year. 10 past six, our time of prayer, and then our evening service, again another special service. It's our Coaching for Christ football team prize night and an outreach. And so we're expecting the boys and parents and families here for that. The speaker will be Mr. Stuart Elliott. And Stuart has been a professional footballer, and he's coming to give his testimony. And so we look forward to his visit. So please don't just stay away because of that. Do seek to come and support that service. And there will be a cup of tea and a biscuit I'm after that service next Sunday night. Now, 2 weeks' time will be our tea service. the 26th of May, and we'll put a sheet for catering on the vegetable table for next Sunday. So I trust, ladies, that or gents, that you will sign up to whatever we need for that. And coming along for the tea service will be Mr. John Porter. John has been here before, and you know how he sings, and he stops halfway through a verse and says a bit, and then he continues on. He has his own style, and so he'll be here next, or that tea service. Men, the middle of June, it doesn't suit this year to go down to Wicklow to put up the campsite for the Dublin Christian Mission. And so talking to Billy Swan during the week, just under 3 weeks' time, Friday the 31st of May, Saturday the 1st of June would suit. And can I have some feedback on that to see how many would be available to go down in just under 3 weeks' time? And I announce this morning also the death of Mr. Frank Herbison's sister, Mrs. Margaret McLaughlin. She died on Friday. Margaret has been to the church here at special services, maybe during her missions. She was very faithful in attending the missions that we have had over this number of years, along with Frank and Maureen. Her funeral will be from Clockwater Presbyterian Church tomorrow at 12:30. And so we offer Frank our condolences at this time. These are all the announcements, and we'll bring to the Lord our offerings. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for all your provisions in our daily lives. There's no such thing as luck or chance. And the inward now is karma. And that originates from false religion, from Buddhism and Hinduism. Lord, we thank you that the word is providence, your providence, the providence of God. How to everything there is a season and a time for everything that's done under the heavens. And Lord, we thank you that everything is in your hands. And we're to be conscious of that. And we just pray that we will know wisdom, that we will know that wisdom that is from above, to live right and to do right, and to know what's right. And we thank you for our Savior, who is the wisdom from God, something that we're considering these few Sunday mornings from Proverbs chapter 8. And Lord, we just look to you and pray that you'll bless those of our church who are unwell at the present time, those at home, those in nursing homes, just draw near unto them and their families. These are anxious times. Those who sorrow, draw near unto Frank and the Herbison family. And we just pray that at this time of grief and the funeral tomorrow, that they will know your comfort. We pray for our special services over the next number of Sundays, when we will have visitors here and different speakers. And we just look to you and pray that we shall know your blessing any time that we meet. For our congregational union and the meetings from next Saturday onwards, the rallies on the Monday and Tuesday, the ladies' rally on the Thursday, the youth rally on the Friday, just ask you for your blessing in all of these things. And so, Lord, we just look to you and pray that the gospel will be triumphant today, that again you'll bless the preaching of your word, and may many be helped and blessed. May many find Christ. May many Christians who may be flagging, who may be weakening, Lord, may they look to you afresh. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so, Lord, we pray that they will be given fresh strength and encouragement today. And so, Lord, draw near now and bless us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hymn number 327, Immortal, Invisible God, Only Wise, In Light Inaccessible Hid From Our Eyes.
Most precious, most glorious.
We noticed in our first look at this chapter that this is certainly the Lord Jesus who is speaking here. In Luke chapter 24, with the disciples and the two that he met on the road to Emmaus, just a village about 7 miles from Jerusalem, how he opened up to them the scriptures and explained the things concerning himself. And so he started at Moses in the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the Psalms and the prophets. And just under those three titles is the whole of the Old Testament. And surely when he stopped off at the book of Proverbs, he showed to them that he is the wisdom that the book of Proverbs is talking about. Now, of course, there were no chapters and verses in those days, but we have them now for our help. And the verses that comprise chapter 8, we can see it's the call of the gospel, the call of wisdom. Verse 4, to you men I call, and my cry is to the children of man. Just to everybody, the call of wisdom, to be wise where God is concerned. Christ in Proverbs. And one has said the key word of this book is wisdom. As the book progresses, it becomes clear that wisdom is not only an attribute, it is also a person. And still closer study reveals that wisdom is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you looked up any English dictionary to the word wisdom, it would maybe give this definition: experience and knowledge, together with the power of applying them, prudence, common sense. That's what wisdom is. And there are those who are known for their wisdom. They have a lot of common sense. And the person who ought to be the wisest is the Christian, because he, she is indwelt by Christ, who is the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24. So what new things can we learn then as we look through this chapter? A few weeks ago we looked at the voice of wisdom and the various places of wisdom in the marketplace and in the home, in places of power, at the city gates and so on. We looked at the virtue of wisdom. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked in them. For my mouth will utter truth. And the value of wisdom, verses 10 and 11, take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. And there's an outline there, the qualities of wisdom, verses 12 and 14. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. And verse 14, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. That's an interesting word, prudence. And again, a definition of that is careful to avoid undesired consequences. Circumspect, discreet. In other words, you just look after yourself. You don't try to be in any situation that is going to be foolish or shameful or embarrassing or anything like that. So there's a lot of practical living in this Proverbs chapter 8. Indeed, right throughout the whole book of Proverbs. But the New Testament would teach this as well to the Ephesian church. Paul said in Ephesians 5:15-17, "Look carefully then how you walk." Now, when the Bible uses walk, it's talking about your way of living, your lifestyle. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time," because very often time can be wasted. "Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." And that was a commentary of the days in which Paul lived in the first century. 2,000 years on in the 21st century, how much more can we say the days are evil? And in the midst of those evil days, we can be wise. We can make best use of the time. We can live for God and please Him. "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence." This is the company of wisdom. Look at the company here. And you can tell a great deal about a person from the company he or she keeps. You can keep bad company. Young people, be careful of the company you hang about with at school. Influences can be wrong. Those influences can take you away. Bad company can take you away from all that you hear on a Sunday. We can keep bad company. We can keep good company. Look at the good company of wisdom. Look at the words here in these verses: prudence, knowledge, and discretion. Counsel, good sound advice, sound wisdom, insight, strength. All good company. And one writer brings them together and says, such harmonious combination. I like to glean from all translations of the scriptures, and the Authorized Version puts this verse like this. It doesn't use the word, I'll use the word discretion at the end of verse 12. It says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." Of witty inventions. Now, the word witty is interesting. It doesn't mean, if someone is described as being witty, they're funny. It doesn't mean that here. You've used the word wit to mean a person's thinking, to mean their sense, or their common sense. You might describe a person as not having a titter of wit. It means that over a particular issue that they're maybe foolish and unwise. But there are those who have their wits about them. It means that they can think straight and properly. And that's what the word witty here means. But the word inventions is interesting too. "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." Now, the word inventions is used also in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29. The last verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. "Lo, this only have I found, that God has made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." Now that's a verse to take up on its own someday. God has made man. That's man's ancestry. God made man. God has made man upright. That's his innocency before the fall. So far, so good. God has made man upright, but and then we have man's iniquity. They have sought out many inventions. And there we could have man's discovery in inventions. Now, I'm not talking about the invention of those who discovered chloroform and penicillin and the modern transportation that we have. All of those are good inventions. We're talking here about sin. God has made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Ways to sin. So you have the inventions of wickedness, and you have the inventions of wisdom. In Proverbs 8, about having witty inventions. The American pastor and commentator Warren Wiersbe says this: God made man upright, but man disobeyed God and fell, and now all men are sinners and seek out many clever inventions. Created in the image of God, man has the ability to understand and harness the forces of God, or the forces God put into nature, but he doesn't always use this ability in constructive ways. Each forward step in science seems to open up a Pandora's box of new problems for the world, until we now find ourselves with the problems of polluted air and water and depleted natural resources. And besides that, man has used his abilities to devise alluring forms of sin that are destroying individuals and nations. Yes, there are many snares and temptations in this evil world, but the person with godly wisdom will have the power to overcome. Solomon has proved his point. Wisdom can make our lives better and clearer and stronger. We may not fully understand all that God is doing, but we will have enough wisdom to live for the good of others and the glory of God. Look at the things that have been invented in recent years. The internet, the computer is a tremendous tool for information, but look at the sin that's also on it. Look at the bad counsel that is on it. There is much wisdom on it, and yet there is much foolishness. It's the same with the mobile phone. Some phones are very sophisticated. Mine's just a basic phone, but you can carry the internet about with you. You can call up whatever you like on some models of your phones. You can be carrying wisdom about with you, and also carrying about foolishness. And we're to be wise in how we use these things. We're to be wise in the television programs we watch and the material that we read. So it's an interesting choice of words in the Authorized Version, I think. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The inventions of wisdom, Ecclesiastes 7:29, the inventions of wickedness. Another has said, in natural things, inventions have much increased since early days. There is no harm in the things themselves, but if they foster the pride of man and divert him from God, they become the instruments of Satan. So we have the qualities of wisdom. Then in verse 13, we have the dislikes of wisdom, or certainly the very strong dislikes of wisdom. In verse 13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance and the way of evil. If prudence, knowledge and discretion, counsel, sound wisdom, insight, strength are all good company, then evil, pride, arrogance, the way of evil, perverted speech, that is bad company, undesirable company. people who are like this, you don't want to be in their company. And these things are just covering attitudes, pride, arrogance. The way of evil, lifestyle, how a person lives, perverted speech, words, things that they say. Why do we refrain from evil? Is it the fear of man or is it the fear of God? Is it the fear of man just being afraid of being found out and publicized and ashamed and embarrassed? Or do you have this wisdom of God within that you fear God? You have a fear of God? Like Joseph in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar's immoral wife took a liking to Joseph. And Joseph said to her, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He didn't mention her husband. He didn't mention Potiphar. But he mentioned God. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Because ultimately, that's who we are answerable to. And one has said, if you know the wisdom that is in Christ, you will be prudent, discreet, judicious, and will be one who turns away from sin. It is by trusting in Christ that we are able to flee from such things. The fear of the Lord. To have this fear of the Lord is to hate evil in every shape and form. Proverbs 23:17 says, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. You might look at the way some people live and you think, oh, they're having a great time. And yet one day they have to stand before God. Having a great time without Christ. Robert Murray McShane wrote a letter to one of his parishioners who wasn't a Christian, said, how can you talk about being happy when you lay your head on the pillow at night knowing that you could be taken into eternity during the night, end up in hell? He said, happiness without being forgiven. Happiness without being ready for heaven. Happiness without knowing Christ. A terrible happiness. And there are those who may claim to be happy today, but in the words of Robert Murray McShane, a terrible happiness. A terrible happiness. Continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. The qualities of wisdom and the dislikes of wisdom. We see the influences of wisdom. In verses 15 and 16, by me kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule, and nobles, all who govern justly. The wisdom isn't just for the man on the street, the common nobody compared to the titles of men here. It's for the corridors of power. Kings, rulers, princes, nobles, those who govern countries, those who have the sway over millions of people. Answerable to God, because that position that they're in is an office from God. Romans 13 tells us that the powers that be are ordained of God. We have had godly leaders in the past. We have had David and Solomon himself and Hezekiah and many other leaders. Again, it's back to the earlier verses that wisdom is found everywhere. It's found on the heights. It's found at the crossroads where decisions are to be made, where you have to take a particular direction. It's found beside the gates in front of the town where the councillors met and important decisions for the town or city's welfare were made. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule, and nobles, all who govern justly. That's why we have to pray for those in authority. They just can't be allowed to make whatever decisions they like. God has his rules. Jesus said one occasion, we are to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but to God the things that are God's. And we see these kings and rulers in another context in Psalm 2. Psalm 2, it says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, who we know from Acts chapter 4 is the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. Now, these rulers and these countries will have their different political agendas, and they would go to war over them, but they're all united on this one issue. They want nothing to do with God. And people might disagree over many things, but when it comes around to religion, when it comes around to a personal relationship with Christ, they will be united in persecuting God's people. And what does the psalm say to these kings of the earth and these rulers who take counsel together? In verse 10, now therefore, O kings, be wise. This is the path of foolishness that you're walking here, against the Lord and against his anointed, and saying, let us burst their bonds apart, let us throw their shackles off and cast away their cords from us. Be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Have an affection for Christ. Fall in love with him. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him. Wisdom, not just for the man on the street, not just for the most humble home, but for our palaces and for our governments, for our government buildings. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. And we see the rewards of wisdom. In verses 17 to 21, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. We condemn the health and wealth gospel. Those American, well, they're not just American, they're different parts of the world, but all this has originated from the health and wealth gospel, teaching that a Christian ought to be healthy, a Christian ought to be wealthy. There's something wrong with your faith if you're not healthy and wealthy. Of course, that is a lot of nonsense. We can be healthy and wealthy in other ways. And those ways are put here. Health and wealth is not always material or financial or physical, but spiritual. I love those who love me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold. So there you have material things. There you have tangible things that you can see, silver and gold. But there's something better than that. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. Verse 21 says, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. Oh, this world is just looking for peace of conscience and contentment. There's just people wanting those things, and they're trying everything under the sun in order to have a bit of peace of mind and contentment in life. And it's only the Lord Jesus Christ who can give that. Now, none but Christ can satisfy. There you have, as an illustration, in 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 to 13, the Queen of Sheba's visit to King Solomon. She herself was a very wealthy lady. It says she came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. She had questions that she wanted answers for. She had heard that Solomon was wise. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And we read that when the Queen of Sheba heard all the wisdom of Solomon and saw Solomon's servants and just all that he had, it says there was no more breath in her. She was greatly taken back with all this. She said to him, you know, I heard this in my own land, but the half was not told me. The half was not told me. And when it says down in verse 13, she turned and went back to her own land with her servants, she went back a different woman than what she came. She had answers to all her questions. I wonder what those questions were. I wonder what the answers were. She went back wiser than what she came. And yet there's a wee commentary of that visit in Matthew 12 and verse 42. The Queen of the South, that's the Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, someone greater than Solomon is here. That someone is the Lord Jesus Christ, or something greater than the Solomon is here, the wisdom that Christ gives. Solomon imparted the wisdom of God to the Queen of Sheba and those others who heard him from time to time. But God sent his wisdom in the person of his Son. And we have his wisdom to live by. We have his wisdom to know in our hearts, the Lord Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. That's the greatest wealth that anybody can ever have, is to have Christ in your heart. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? My fruit is better than gold. Verse 11 says, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. So in verse 17 we have that we have love. Let's personalize this and say, my love. I love those who love me. An attribute cannot love. It's a person who loves. So this shows that wisdom is a person here. I love those who love me. Do you love this wisdom? Do you want to live by this wisdom, the wisdom of God? Then you will know his love in a great way. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. My love. Verses 18 and 19, we have my blessings, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. Verse 20, my leading and my lifestyle, I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice. Again, the word walk is here. Your life. And knowing this wisdom gives you a future. Verse 21, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. Peter talks about having an inheritance reserved in heaven for us. And you can see that it's not for everybody, this inheritance. It's granting an inheritance to those who love me. You must love this wisdom. And this wisdom will love you. I love those who love me. And that gives you a future. Not just for the rest of your life from this day on, but it's talking about eternity as well. Granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasury. So do you know these riches and enduring wealth and righteousness? This fruit that is better than gold, fine gold, choice, silver in your heart and life. The Christian ought to show that they're the wealthiest and happiest, most contented people in the world. What a witness that would be. What a testimony that would be. To show to others that your money, your possessions, it's not the be-all and end-all of our existence. There's more than that. And it's by knowing this wisdom, knowing Christ in your heart, living it out in your life. So trust that maybe you've been reading this chapter and becoming acquainted with it. Proverbs chapter 8. Let it sink into your heart and mind and thoughts. And may you come to that place, if not already, that you've trusted Christ as your Savior and are knowing him who is wisdom from God. Let's sing number 889. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me.
Oh,
Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.